to come in before then.
Chairperson, thank you. Seems to me I will come in first. the only matter that I would like to deal with is the question on the debt and what has SALGA done to assist with the unlawful, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure in municipalities and also with debt collection. That looks on to a further question. Do we have a program that focuses on municipalities that do not do well? We must understand, Chairperson, that when it comes to these kind of things, generic programs don't work because municipalities have individual problems and this whole one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work when it comes to specific problems in municipalities. What we've done in the Western Cape is when we find that there is a municipality that approach us with specific problems, we have a very, very active hands-on approach where we go out to the municipality, we get stakeholders together, we tackle the problem, and we assist them. In various municipalities, in speaking of specifically of the Western Cape now, because that's where I am, we've actually gone in and taught the speakers how to do fruitless and wasteful expenditure investigations, which is essentially a legal concept, and it's an investigation into negligence. And we've done many, many investigations in the province. As to what have we done when municipalities are in trouble, we do basically the same. We go out when municipalities request for our assistance, we analyze the problem and we find a solution. What we've done in the Western Cape in a small municipality called Kangaland, they were seriously in trouble and they weren't getting out. And they asked for our assistance and we went out and we partnered there with a firm called Deloitte and Touche. And they sponsored the process, meaning they didn't charge the municipality a cent or us. And we updated their systems to the effect where this year they got a clean audit. I'm not sure whether it was clean or it was unqualified. Let's rather say unqualified, which was a huge step up for them in a matter of 3 years. So yes, we do have programs such as that. But it's on a smaller scale and on a one-on-one basis. And then also, what you must understand is when there are municipalities that approach us with specific problems, we have a system of best practices where we partner municipalities with one another. And sometimes these partnerships are across borders of provinces where we will link one municipality up with another municipality or with another municipality to take a look at their credit control procedures and how do they do debt collection. A Swartland municipality with a 98% collection rate, we then partner up with another municipality that has a problem to show them what their instruments and their systems look like in order to get them back on par. We also have a system where we share assets or we distribute assets. The city of Cape Town, when their fire trucks gets redundant, they find out from other municipalities who can benefit by their old trucks. They've delivered two trucks to, I think it was Bergrivier municipality, 2 or 3 years ago. Saldanha Bay municipality delivered two fire vehicles to Kangaland. Drakenstein recently, a month or two ago, delivered a refuse removal truck to Laingsburg. So what most probably happened is these bigger municipalities, they write the asset off, and instead of just throwing it away or selling it, they then donate it to another municipality who has need of it. So and we facilitate in these processes. Then also with regard to our social cohesion and upliftment, such as is prescribed in Section 152 of the Constitution, we also manage the international partnerships that some municipalities have with municipalities abroad. to make sure that funding flows in and that there are projects being put on the ground. But this kind of thing is not a generic program that we run. It is a one-on-one municipality assistance that we give. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we appreciate the suggestions raised by honorable members. And I think especially around the issue of local economic development, we take those advices and we anticipate to interact with the relevant department also to be on board so that we are able to help and strengthen the capacity of these municipalities. I think also around the issue of waste management, during our energy summit, we made a point that waste can't be waste. We just have to convert waste into energy and so forth. So we really appreciate those suggestions. Secondly, Chair, this one I think we seek your wisdom, Chair. We want to put this issue to bed. If the invitation to the committee to come and account the SALGA, we really humble ourselves to the committee that allow us as SALGA to determine the delegation that must come to present here. If the Honorable President of SALGA, Park Stau, is asked to come and account for his roles and responsibility at SALGA and also at the international level, that must be clarified so that we don't waste our time to come here and talk on behalf of Stau. We can't reduce our presentation and our accountability here to an individual. So if this question keeps coming, we'll keep giving the same answers, Chair.
Chair, SALGA is accountable to this committee. I will not sit here and be rebuked for asking questions that relate to the costs of SALGA. I will not sit here and be rebuked by SALGA for asking where is their political leadership. I will not sit here when I asked a very simple question, what is the cost to benefit of these international trips? I will not sit here and listen to a councillor say to me that I cannot ask these questions because it is perfectly within my rights as a member of this committee to ask those questions. And I would ask you, Chair, to rule on that matter.
I do. I need to rule on on a delegation. Now, it is always preferable for a chairperson to be part of the president, whoever, the head of an institution, to be part of a delegation, generally. It is always preferable. Hence, anyway, Honorable Manyoni always attend this and brief the committee. And then I don't think we should make it a bigger issue, really. It's always preferable to do that. If a president is not around, of course, a submission of apology, as you have done, is always also acceptable. But as a rule in Parliament, generally, the head and the CEO for companies when they're CEO or chairperson of the board, they always attend this meeting. And I think, let us close it there, Melham, really. I think it's understandable. It's a point that I think Honorable Sondash was raising an issue that when they're mandated, also the president is not here, surely should be allowed to make a presentation as we have allowed them to do so. And then that one is fine.
No, Chair, I think we accept your wisdom on that. And really, I think ours is to really to have this, cooperation between our CEOs of government to make sure that we keep each other to account. So we will never at one stage as SALGA not to respond to our mandate in terms of our roles and responsibilities. So we really appreciate your wisdom. Thank you very much, Chair. At least the matter is closed now.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Maram will recall that decision, it's a tool that is not static. It has to be reviewed from time to time. Trace its impact at the point when you took a decision. It was a decision to amalgamate municipalities. And Salga is saying it is important to relook into that decision, because we understand that decision, it's a tool that it had to be reviewed from time to time. And I think the committee should appreciate that because of the magnitude of challenges that are faced by amalgamated municipalities in the country. I think it is important for us to register that, because it will be very worrying to say, for instance, Honorable Malam, when the CEO was busy presenting, objected and tried to clarify. And to me, it doesn't augur well, really, being invited in the committee, and I don't take it very light. When it comes to issues of international trips, Tau and Salga councillors, I hope this debate is not going to be only reduced to Tau and the cost incurred for councillors and Salga going out. It should also be looked within the context of what value does Salga brings into the country. Okay. And the value brought by Salga into the country, and we mustn't debate this matter in a very shallow corner, cornered ourselves in that corner. I think I was listening very attentively to the President of the Republic when he was leaving the country and going to overseas trip. He raised an importance of growing the economy of the country. And this economy of the country does not take place at national or provincial level. It takes place at local government, because local government is a coal face of any activities of national and provincial government. And therefore, that is why it should be in the benefit of this committee that the role and the contribution played by Salga at the international space, it brought value to local government sector and the economy of the country. And that is why, Chair, because of the influence and the contribution of Salga and this international space, we are hosting international community, bring money into South Africa. And as you look into the cost incurred, you must also look about resources attracted to the country by the contribution of Salga in the process. So I think it will be important, this discussion, to be aligned within that context.
Chair, I asked exactly that question. What was the cost? How much did it generate in income?
And Xolile said in his answer, if your memory serves you well, he says, we'll furnish the committee with details.
Chair, with all due respect, Don't sit here and say we didn't ask the question, because that's exactly the question that we asked. And then the councillor says that we didn't ask the question and we're playing in the shallow end of politics. No, we're asking what is the cost and what is the benefit.
No, Mr.
Let me do this. All those who are come to Parliament or National Assembly must always be mindful that we do this with respect and diligence, because sometimes meetings become so bad unnecessarily. That is what we should do, really. Those who are come to Parliament, always they do this with respect and very diligent, just to avoid again engagement with members in a manner that is not very helpful. Melham, I thought that the question was raised and then they attempted to answer the question. And I'm not sure how would you answer the question when you go to Malaysia. I'm not sure when you are going to Malaysia. I know it's next month and next year, or Singapore. And I'm just saying that it's very important, though, that we don't really get involved in other issues. And sometimes issues that are not really clarified. Members of Parliament themselves, they do visit what we call study tours. They go and visit many other parts of the world. And then, Melham, I guess that you were in China last year. Generally, we learn from these experiences. Sometimes, like Pakistan, who is the president of the United Cities, is no longer just dealing with the South African issues, it's international, building relationship, the diplomatic approach on some of the issues. And then we benefit out of that. And I think we should engage in a manner that is not really assisting us to move forward. Again, the appeal that, George, those who are coming to Parliament must do that with respect and diligence. No other way around, otherwise it becomes very clumsy. Let us do it that way and let's move on. Okay. Councillor Tofilo, still?
I think you have covered, because that was the issue that I was going to, about the benefit out of this international engagement.
In fact, you are raising a point that the president has appointed a team, what he calls that envoys, who are going to assist us to go all over the world to encourage business people, including Melham, to come and invest in South Africa. Melham, of course, the South African, is going to invest in Buffalo City. But also Buffalo City is part of the team, the council, that is being assisted by one fund. I'm not sure it's a Canadian one. Canadian funding, also Buffalo City. That is a direct benefit for the members of Parliament there who stays in Buffalo City. And I think we should manage it that way, colleagues, really. And then Melham got the right to answer questions. And then we should attempt to answer questions with respect and diligence. And we deal with some of the issues as we move on. Yeah. George?
No, thank you very much, Chair. On the outstanding question from Honorable Melham on the how we have captured the issue institutional performance-based incentives. Now that's fine, Chair. The issue there, Honorable Melham, is it's not the remuneration incentive. Let me make an example of how we have dealt with the salary at the level of managers, Section 56 and 57 managers. We deal with collective bargaining, which is layers less than that category that is specified. So collective bargaining, there's a multi-year agreement, people are paid predictable over the next 3 years. They've got entitlement of whatever benefits that they have. Then you also have a category of contractual executives in terms of managers. Every year, once we conclude, communicate to collective bargaining, as SALGA, we issue advisory to municipalities and say, this is now year end. As part of what you do as municipalities, take into account the following, should you consider adjustment of municipal employee managers. Look at the performance of the institution. Look at what Auditor General raised. And as SALGA, we will find it very, very difficult that you will be able to provide guaranteed adjustment of employees, regardless of the situation, non-performance affordability, and poor audit outcomes and poor performance outcomes in terms of executing budget. We state that upfront. We've been doing that for the last 6 years to say, in the face of this, and this is the guideline we give you, make it inflation linked. But when there are these instances, we find it very... So we have installed accountability at managers very long time ago. And part of the discussion, various PMAs and MMAs, NMAs of SALG, also from the local leadership, the matter is raised to say public office bearers, there has to be a way in which we instill accountability. It doesn't apply only, of course, to local government, public office bearers provincially and nationally. So when we go to the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Commission, we must be able to say, let's overhaul fundamentally the issue of remuneration of councillors as well as other office bearers. But it's coming from local government to say, we would like to be held accountable in the face of municipalities that regularly receive this type of audit. Are we able to justify annual adjustments that are silent to those realities? And that's what it means by incentive-based. So that when there's better performance, you are able to say, this is the area. But when there's poor performance, this is the area. It has got nothing to do with bonuses. Councillors don't get bonuses. It is about ensuring that a culture of accountability and consequences is installed. And that's the significant angle of the issue, Chair, as opposed to more money or the very rate that is being paid must be justified, so to speak. On the area of infrastructure, we are working collaboratively with MISA on the interventions. And I think Kasa Sotashi has also indicated in our study that we have outlined we'll be doing this year, the cost of services and how to plan for infrastructure will be one of those guidelines that we're working with Treasury and FSCs. Yes, we will be working with small business development. They are part of our Karoo regional planning in terms of our SDI projects, and we will certainly continue to work with them. My colleagues, Siana and Pauline, will add on areas that perhaps we have not covered as a last component, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Perhaps I'll start with the one question from Honorable... Apologies. Yeah, I said you not want to be checked out. Apologies for that. My name is Siana Mkhahle. I'm the executive manager at SALG, responsible for strategy and organizational performance. Perhaps I pick up on the question that Honorable Masondo asked about the value of knowledge management, knowledge sharing, and what benefits we are seeing on that. There's been a numerous knowledge sharing initiatives that we have undertaken, Chair, over the years, and we might not be able to elaborate on all of them, but perhaps to highlight just two or so to make the point. And the point will be that the benefit we have seen in some instances, we've been able to measure some of that in empirical terms, others are anecdotal. I start with knowledge sharing on service delivery and perhaps looking at water and water demand management in particular. 3 years ago, we convened a provincial members assembly in Western Cape. I think we got a municipality, Drakenstein, if I'm not mistaken. Due to our posture that our governance structures must themselves start becoming learning platforms, one of the things that members did there was to visit a water treatment plant and the water reticulation system of the municipality. The municipality was able to demonstrate how it has been able to reduce water losses through simple technology. I think in that instance, they were talking about reducing pressure in the system 3 years ago. In February this year, we convened a municipal managers forum. Municipal managers then reflect on various ways of conserving water, particularly in the context of the current drought that we see mainly in the Western Cape, but also in other parts of the country. That intervention that we learned about at the PMA in the Western Cape was reflected on and is now being implemented in a number of municipalities. We started to see water losses in a number of municipalities starting to come down. That is something that can be very easily quantifiable, even down to the rands and cents that that particular knowledge sharing intervention was able to generate. Perhaps I use one other example. Councillor Kotsie made reference to that on the audit improvement support that we provide to our members. There's a number of different interventions that we undertake in that context. One of the approaches there is through knowledge sharing. One of the standard practices that we do when we convene municipal managers, either at a provincial level or at a national level, we try to do that at least twice every year over the past 5 or so years. One of the consistent issues there has been presenting, first of all, our concerns about the audit challenges as released by the Auditor General. We then identify those municipalities that have been doing well. Of course, other than celebrating the fact that they've done well, we request them to share their journey from when they were struggling to the point where they are getting good audits. Now, we have then been able to track those municipalities that have continuously improved their audit outcomes. Councillor Kuzi made reference to one of those. In the presentation, we've also listed those that have improved. In the last year, when we presented our annual report, we also reflected on some of those. A last one, Chair, just to demonstrate the point, a South Africa Germany city network that we have facilitated, supported through one of our international partners, the German Technology Support, GIZ, has partnered three municipalities in South Africa with three municipalities in Germany, Nelson Mandela Bay, Msunduzi, and Ekurhuleni. In Germany is Munich, Leipzig, and a third one. Now, over the past 2 years, officials and councillors in each of these municipalities have identified specific program areas where they continue to collaborate. And those municipalities from Germany were here in Msunduzi at the end of March, reporting on the improvements that that program has generated over the past 2 years. So there are a number of very specific areas where we've seen improvements in the areas of knowledge management and knowledge generation. Perhaps the last one that I undertake is on waste management. I think the CEO has made reference, there was a reference also made earlier, where part of the support is starting to demonstrate the magnitude of the problem. Even in quantitative terms, we started that when we problematized this issue in the presentation. But over and above that, we then dissect the different measures that we need to intervene in. And intervene in those, we make in reference to the fact that some of these tons of waste should be diverted away from land use fill sites through various mechanisms, reusing, recycling, repurposing. A number of municipalities are starting to do that. The progress is very, very slow, hence we've elevated it as a key priority in our program areas. But also some of the landfill sites themselves are not meeting the minimum requirements as per legislation. They are not complying with those. So we've determined interventions to assist them to comply with that, so that even at the very bare minimum, even before you get into the innovative reuse, recycle, repurpose interventions, that at least we're complying with what we're required in law. I think that covers the issues that have been identified for me, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Dube.
Thanks, Chair. I just want also join other colleagues to welcome the presentation. However, I've got two questions. My first question is in terms of your support and advisory role as per your mandate. Indeed, councillors have been killed, particularly in KZN. But my question to SALGA as an association, what does he did, you know, in terms of advising councillors? Because in most instances where councillors are being targeted, even their houses and their homes are being targeted, where there is a community mass protest or service delivery protest, their houses have been targeted. Is it optional for each municipality to plan according to their councillors in terms of insurance and so on? Because I foresee that if this is not been tackled, that will affect this cohesion between the local government together with their communities. There will be not that smooth or cohesion. But also the second question is in connection or is in terms of the new leadership that is being taken at a certain municipal level. They mentioned Amalahleni, for example, here as part or as one of the municipalities that was on the red line. What is an advice of SALGA for the new leadership? For example, a mayor is coming and is buying a new car. Forgetting the constraint or the financial difficulties of the municipalities. Because you find that there's a car already that is there, but they want to put another one, two or three and so on, and not taking into account the financial difficulties of the municipalities. What is the role of SALGA
to intervene in that regard. Thank you, sir.
No, mine was just a comment, Chairperson, that slide 44 on the red zone municipalities really speaks to an increase, not a decrease.
Let me invite colleagues from SALCA to talk on the matters.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. On the insurance for councillors, yes, we have, as part of increasing measures, ensured that in the gazette that is now issued for councillors, I think since 2015, municipalities now have a provision for coverage of councillors in terms of their property as well as the life of councillors. So it's clearly outlined in the Public Office Bearers Gazette, and that was aimed at dealing directly with this problem of killing of councillors. In terms of the red zone slide, it shows a breakdown per province in terms of where there's highest level of prevalence. In Gauteng, it's currently at zero level. In the Eastern Cape, it is four. But provinces that show a significant higher number, it is Western Cape, it is Free State, it is Northwest, and Limpopo. And this is what has happened between the last time we reported. We have also seen in the recent audit by the Auditor General that when it came to the recent results, they were issued in 2016, the number actually increased from 38 to 42 that we had. And this number is coming from 69 when we first introduced the program. And we were encouraged seeing the decline. But in this particular year, it then became a spike. And there were issues that they raised, I think, AG, around annual financial statements, procurement, and internal control deficiencies. And those were linked to the introduction of the MSCOA, the Municipal Standard Chart on Accounts. I think it resulted in some municipalities going back, hence that increase from 36 to 42. And there were also instances where municipalities in the Western Cape, things that contributed to AG not being finalized timely. I think there were problems in Knysna. They cited the fires and the difficulties that were peculiar to that municipality in the Southern Cape at that time. But yes, we have noted the increase in terms of 36 to 42, and they've cited MSCOA as part of the major requirements that perhaps other municipalities were found to be declining around that. Thanks, sir.
Chairperson, thank you. Seems I forgot to switch off my microphone previously. Sorry about that. There's one question which I'm not sure whether Kulile answered, the role of SALGA to intervene when the mayor spends money, and then my words in brackets, recklessly, such as buying new cars and stuff like that. Chairperson, we must understand that SALGA do not go into municipalities and tell them what to do. We support and we assist. So when a mayor buys cars or spends the budget recklessly, unfortunately, it is not the role of SALGA to go in and tell the mayor you're not allowed to do that. When the municipality comes to us to assist them in doing an investigation in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure or stuff like that, then obviously we will assist them and we will help them and show them how it is done.
like Colile said earlier, we don't get the Section 72 financial reports that is sent to Treasury and stuff like that. So we don't know when municipalities are really spending recklessly. Not saying that they are, but we react when we receive a mandate to act. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
No. Thank you very much. It has been a long engagement. The longest today, I think, members on top form. Anyway, you are from recess. You are also angry because community have raised a lot of issues that were not resolved when we reported to the service or the public servant of our country. Because you come today in Sondage, you also bear the consequences of what you always report to the public servant. Do this work, do this work. They don't do the work. And that's why we track some of the issues and have a discussion on it. But a very helpful explanation. And thank you again for coming and making this presentation. And we'll engage again as usual. And from time to time, SALCA will always come and engage with us. And we'll have discussion again as we move forward. We have identified areas that need some follow-up. And then, and again, thank you for your clean audit. And thank you for the annual performance plan. I think it's very helpful for us. We have covered the issues that we requested you to cover in the last year. And hopefully we'll cover also the issue that have been raised by members here. Just showing again progress that we are making. And good luck, really, colleagues, for the presentation and also the work that you are doing. We will allow you to leave whenever you want to leave, also can remain. We're engaging now the very serious issue of religious and cultural and linguistic committee. Already there's a movement outside there that what is it? False prophet must fall. False prophet must fall. I can see that they are raising real issues there. They will make a presentation immediately after this, and we will allow members 10 minutes again, colleagues, just to fresh and come back, right?